Let's turn to Psalms chapter 103, but I want to focus on prayer. You know, there are a lot of weird theories and ideas out there about angels, but I believe that your ideas about God's word and angels or any subject should come from the word. It shouldn't ever. This is so interesting. I love talking to believers, and they say, I think. I'm like, well, how do you back that process up? Well, I just think that this is the way God would work. I'm like, well, you better have some scripture behind that, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And if we even try to contemplate, you know what? If you have an idea that goes against the God's word, guess who is wrong? The creator of the universe are you. Which one? We should have the Jeopardy music in the background. Give you a moment to contemplate that. And so we want to focus on prayer and how angels work and how, you know, they go out. And I've told you this last week. There are people, I've heard teachings that says you need to command your angels to do things. I would like a latte, please. No, I don't drink lattes. But anyway, you know, it's interesting to me. And you know, the saints before this, we never see Paul or anyone commanding angels to do anything. Guess what? We'll get into it. We'll get into it. Psalms 103 and verse 20. Have you found it? All right, it says, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, I have a lot of scripture to read. I mean, we're like reading half the Bible. That's an exaggeration, but we have a lot of it. So some of it, I'm just going, because of time-wise and trying to stay on my time limit here that I give myself, I'm going to quote things, and you might have to write them down and then go read them by yourself later, but I will read it to you. You may not have time to turn there because we have a lot to read and a short time to do it in. But it says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength. I'm so glad they're strong. I'm so glad they're stronger than me. Because if everything is on my own self, there's a lot that I'm going to miss. There's a lot that's going to happen to me if I have to depend on me being good enough and doing well enough and, you know, commanding everything. And the good news is I'm not the commander in chief. And so it says they excel in strength that do his what? His word, our commandments, depending on what translation you have, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Question, unto the voice of what? Angels hearken to the voice of God's word, of his word. Not hearkening unto God's voice alone and not unto your voice, but it's the voice of God's word. So when we speak God's word, they pay attention. They might ignore a lot of your other stuff. Like yesterday, my wife told me a bunch of jokes, and they probably ignored all of that. And there was one, I wish I could remember them, because there was one that was extremely funny. Do you remember any of them that was really, really great? No, I hate putting you on the spot, sorry. But there was one that just made me, I was in a restaurant, and I laughed so hard. She had some great jokes. She is the second funniest person I know. The second, she ranks number two. She will deny that I'm funnier than her, but it is true. Now, notice God, the angels hearken unto the voice of God. So you don't even have to rely on God to speak on your behalf. A lot of people, dear Lord Jesus. And you know, when people pray, when Christians pray, it's interesting. They get real spiritual and just really great and all of a sudden become a poet. And they all of a sudden become King James English. It's amazing when Christians pray, dear Heavenly Father from above, how be it thou will. And I mean, like, I have never heard them speak like that except in prayer. And you know, this is interesting too. Have you ever seen somebody who prays forever and ever? And I just want to say this. We're not going to discuss, there are different types of prayer, and we're going to discuss general prayer. We're not going to discuss intercession. There's different types of prayer that we need to get into. But we're just going to talk about general prayer, praying God's will today. And so there are people who pray. I won't even let certain people in my family pray over lunch. They're like, somebody pray over lunch. Not Uncle So-and-so. I'm going to do it. You want to know why? Because mine is, God bless his food to the nourishment of my body. My body to your service in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You do not have to pray for the missionaries in Africa. Do it on your own time. I'm hungry. You don't have to pray for the missionaries in Indonesia. You don't have to pray through. We're praying for our meal. My grandmother was king of that on my dad's side. She would pray and it would be forever long. I mean, I wouldn't even fix my plate before she prayed because I would be tempted to eat something in my plate because it was forever long. You don't have to pray through over lunch. And can I tell you this? General prayers are prayers of faith, and they're normally short and simple. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor. That just set you free. And so we don't have to get very spiritual. And some people pray forever, and they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Do you know Jesus had this problem in his day? He said, you think that you will be heard for your much speaking. And he called those people hypocrites. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus, not pastor. Jesus said, y'all are hypocrites. You're dirty snakes. Filthy. I think he used the word filthy vipers. Filthy vipers, but dirty snakes. And he said, you make people upset because they look at you and they think God is this way and God is not this way. And they hate God because they really hate you. You are representatives of God Almighty. And what you do in your actions represent the Lord, even in your prayers. And so can I tell you this? I read something recently that I loved. It said, church without the people changing is merely religion. And Sunday mornings is nothing more than a show. So if your life is not changing, but you have God in your heart, you have a religion with God. And what we need is a relationship with the Lord. We need people that are disciples of the Lord, that look at the Word and they look at their life. It's like looking into the Word is like looking into a mirror and you see something out of whack or wrong or in your spiritual teeth or your hair is messed up spiritually. And you look and you fix it according to God's Word. Not according to religion, not according to other people, because I've been a part of churches that were very religious. And they wanted me to act like them. They wanted me to fit in with them. And I tried for a period of time. And you know what? I got depressed. God made me just the way I am and was not shocked with me being the way I am. Oh, I love God. Don't you love Jesus? Matthew chapter 4 states this. The devil, when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, it says, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came to minister unto him. Why did angels come to minister unto Jesus? Because when the devil tempted him, what did he say? It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. What do angels hearken to? The voice of the Word. Whether it comes out of your mouth or whether it comes out of God's mouth. So many people, God, if you would just show up, if you would just speak on my behalf, mountains move at your voice, Lord. Let's just get into prayer. Maybe you've heard this before. If you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard this. Lord, I am not worthy to come into your presence. And it's a tremendous show. And I remember in church asking my mother as a kid. This rang true in my life as a kid. I remember going to my mother and I said, so-and-so prayed that they were not worthy to come in God's presence. She goes, yes. I'm like, well, then why do they even try to get in? If they know they can't, why do they go? And my mother said, that's just them speaking. And she tried to explain to me, not in a really great job that I understood, but she could just kind of explain. Some people just say things that mean hardly anything. And she said, that's pretty much what their prayer was. They're saying a lot of things that mean hardly anything, but they try to get to at least one point. And this is what the Word says. So if you're not worthy, the Bible says by the blood of Jesus, you are worthy to come into the throne room. That when you accept Jesus as your Savior, all your past sins are washed away and you are white as snow before the Lord, standing perfect, justified, just as sin has never existed in your life. And God sees you holy. No matter what mama sees you or daddy sees you or your neighbor sees you or your wife or husband sees you, it matters what God sees you. And He sees me perfect. You may see me with faults. You may see me kind of crazy. You may think I'm not normal. And you're probably right on most of those things. But I will tell you, when God looks at me, He says, there is my servant, blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Well done. Oh, if I could moonwalk right now, I would. This is good stuff. This will set you free. I am tired of religion teaching that you have to come to God in their manner and in their way. How about this? Understand God's Word and come to Him the way you are and let God transform you. Let God do a work, not the church. Let God do it. Lord, I feel like I could run in this place. I'm telling you, when you feel the presence of God or you get excited, somebody told me, well, that's just you. It may be, and I don't give a rip who it is. I just enjoy it. Whew, somebody told me you don't have to get so worked up. I'm like, you do if you understand it. You know what I love? I told somebody, they were so quiet. They're like, Pastor, that's not me. Then I saw them at a football game. We went to a football game. And I realized they lied. It was them. They just don't do it in church. Now, so the angels, they what? They hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Isaiah 55 and 11, write that down. It says, so shall my words be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So God says, my word goes out of my mouth, and it does not return void. That word void is the Greek word, Hebrew word, sorry, rekham, which means without effect. So God says, when my word comes back to me, it is not void. It comes back with great effect. How does God's word come back to him? His church gives it voice. His people voices God's word, and it returns back with great power. Now, there are two ways we give God's voice, or God's word, voice. We confess the word, and we pray the word. Do you know the greatest prayer you can ever pray is the word of God? Now, I've had somebody disagree with me on that. They said, praying in the Spirit is the greatest prayer. Well, why do you pray in the Spirit? Because you have no idea of what you need to pray, and you pray out God's perfect will. And I understand that that is powerful. So I'll just go a step further and say the greatest prayer you could ever pray is the prayer that is needed at the time. Thank you. I'll say it again. The greatest prayer you can pray is the prayer that is needed at the time. And when you know the word of God, that is what we pray. Otherwise, we can get to the place where we pray in a mist. And that's what the Bible, basically, we're praying something that we have no idea if it's the word of God. Lord, may I win the lottery. Woo, Jesus, help me. Woo, may I pick the right numbers. Pop it in my head, Lord. I've had somebody ask me, what numbers, Pastor? You're close to God. What numbers should I play? 7, 82, 91? No, I'm joking. I told them, I said, you better be led by the Spirit on your own. I am connected to the Lord, but not in lottery winning numbers. And if you do, give a donation to the church. God bless you. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I love this. I heard one minister make this statement. He made the statement, God had to call Lazarus by name because if he didn't, every dead person would arose at the time. He said, get up! Is that true? I don't know, but I like to think about it. Could you imagine that? Come up! Oh, something interesting that just crossed my brain. When the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, while he was here, the Bible actually tells us that people rose from the dead and walked among us. Probably not like this. They were restored. They were not the living dead as movies, but they were restored to their natural. Okay, anyway, that's a great thing to think about. Could you imagine the resurrection of Jesus and the people come alive? Well, that would freak a lot of people out. They get upset if praise and worship is different in church. Could you imagine what the church would have? I don't like this, Jesus. I don't like this at all. We kick so-and-so out for moving the cross that was on the wall. We can't handle this. But I think we have a church that can handle the power of God. Don't you? He said, Father, this is what Jesus said before he called Lazarus up. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Past tense. Before he ever said, Lazarus, come forth, he said, God, you have heard me. That's interesting. That's actually scriptural. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the scriptures for this. Isaiah 65 and 24. I'll actually just let you turn there. And get ready, we're going to go to Genesis 18. But Isaiah 65 and 24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God is the past, present, and future altogether. There is no time with the Lord. So before you ever spoke it, God knows what you're about to say. And he says, I will hear you before you ever say it. I've had someone tell me this, well, then I don't have to say it. No, yes, you do. You have to give God's word voice. But the good news is, God already knows what you're going to say. Angels will hearken to it at that time. But the word of God should be, as the Bible would say, nigh or close, are proceeding out of your mouth. God's word should be coming out of your mouth on a regular basis.
When you get scared or a deer jumps out in your car and you miss it, the thing you should shout out is, Jesus! It should be the word. I've had someone tell me, Pastor, I did not shout the word. I'm like, that's okay. Repent and move forward. Write this down. We're going to Genesis 6, but I got a couple scriptures to read to you before we get there. When you pray God's word, that is what's causing angels to go into action for you. It's not because you commanded an angel to do anything. It's because you spoke God's word and they hearken to the voice of God's word. Whether it comes out of your mouth, the baby's mouth, the child's mouth, the president's mouth, the governor's mouth, it doesn't matter whose mouth it comes out of. When it comes out of their mouth, angels hearken to the word. Somebody say, hearken to the word. Matthew 6 and 9 says this, after the manner therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven. I think this is where we like to get spiritual. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Sorry. Now it says pray in this manner. It doesn't say pray this prayer. It says pray in this manner. And this is interesting. It starts off with our Father which art in heaven. That was new for the disciples. God was not their Father. And all of a sudden Jesus was saying pray our Father that art in heaven. And I've had people tell me that I need to pray to the Holy Spirit. I've had people tell me that I need to pray to Jesus. And the Bible nowhere tells me to pray to the Holy Spirit. And nowhere in the Bible does it tell me to pray to Jesus. It tells me to pray to the Father. Pray to God the Father. Now, we also find out that we are supposed to end this in the name of Jesus. Because it's in that name that we have power. It's when the police officers come to the door and knock, open up! Not in their own power, but in the power or the name of the law. I hope that never happens to you. But if it is, it's not in their own power, do they stand? So when you pray to the Father, it's not in your own power. So we flash our badge and say, in the name of Jesus. Father, I come before thee in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Something I want you to notice here. There's not a whole lot of asking. There's not a whole lot of asking. What there is quoting of God's word. Jesus is saying, pray in this manner. Start it off with our Father that art in heaven. And then follow it with quoting the word that deals with your situation. So what are you facing this morning? Find a scripture for it. And that should be your prayer. I'm not telling you can never ask God for anything. What I am saying is back it up with God's word when you pray. Pray in this manner. Now, 1 John, I know I told you go to Genesis, and we're getting there. But 1 John 5, and I'm going to be fast. I'm going ahead and apologizing to you in advance. I'm going to be fast this morning, and I already have been because we got a lot to cover. But 1 John 5 and 14 says this, and this is the confidence. God wants us to have confidence. In who? In Him. But Pastor, you don't understand my situation. You're right, I probably don't. But can I tell you this? I have more faith in my God than I do my situation. Now, that does not cause me to ignore my situation. I deal with my situation. I don't go to bed and lay down and close the curtains because I can't handle my situation. No, we deal with our situation. We do everything natural that we know to do, and we do everything spiritually that we know to do. We put our super and our natural together. And God, as we speak the word, angels hearken to God's word. I'm going to say that over and over. You're going to get sick of hearing it. Angels hearken unto God's word. Let's just say it together as a congregation. Angels hearken to God's word. It should be coming out of your mouth. That should be your prayer. You want a prayer that is strong in faith? You pray a prayer that is based on God's word. And when we pray prayers based on God's word, we can have the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything, somebody say anything, according to His what? According to His word, or King James says will, which His will is His word. You can't separate His will from Him or His word from Him. The Bible tells us in John that Jesus was the Word made flesh. Jesus was the Word made flesh. Let's say it one more time. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So when Jesus was on this earth, it was the Word walking around. It was His Word walking around. And it is His Word that is full of power. It is His Word that is anointed. It is His Word that heals. When people came and needed healing, what they came in contact with was the Son of God, yes. But the power that they came in contact with was the Word. And the Word works. Oh, my goodness. I feel that I am much more excited about God's Word than you are this morning. Now, that is the confidence that we have in Him, that we ask anything according to His will, and that is the key. When we ask according to the will of God, we are asking according to His Word, and if we're asking according to His Word, He hears us. I'd like to go ahead and put it this way. When we pray according to God's Word, He heard us before we ever opened our mouth. That will cause you to go tilt sometimes. Some of the principles of God you just think about and you get lost in the ethers. You're like, oh my Lord, I might not fully understand, but I get it somewhat. Help me understand it, Lord. Anybody else have to pray about it that way? All right, now y'all found Genesis 18, right? We're going to start in verse 1. This is a lot of scripture to read. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of, how do you pronounce that? I've heard two different pronunciations. Anyone want to take a shot at it? Mamre? Okay, that is actually one of the translations I heard, but one of them was really weird. So I'm going to go with Mamre. And sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So the Lord, this is where the Lord appears unto Abraham. The Lord, Jesus, shows up. Can you imagine that? This is before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus shows up. But not only does He show up, He also shows up with angels. To Abraham. Could you imagine? You know that little song you sang in Children's Church? I'm going to Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Climbed up the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to be. What did y'all sing? Come to my house for what? I'm going to your house today. Do you want to know how we sang it in the South? Going to your house for tea. That's exactly the way we say it. They would say, go into your house today. That's what y'all sing. And we would say, go into your house for tea. Because you don't go to nobody's house in the South and not get tea. If you go to somebody's house and you don't get tea, it's because they don't want you there. And so, Jesus showed up to Abraham's house. I do not know if Abraham had tea, but he was not a Southerner. So Abraham bowed himself. He recognized God. He recognized the Lord, and he recognized that these men were angels with him. In verse 3, and it says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. In other words, he's like, Lord, if I have found favor, stay with me. Stick around. I want to be in your presence, Lord. I desire to be in your presence. And you know what God did? He stuck around. Let's jump to verse 20. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces. Now, this is what happened was the angels, not God, but the angels turned away from Abraham and the Lord, and they began to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, let's look. Verse 24, this is what we find. We find Abraham beginning to ask the Lord. Beginning to ask the Lord, because you know what? Who was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, his own family. Isn't it interesting that the Lord came to Abraham to tell him what he was going to do? Do you know God still shows up to people and tells them what he's going to do in this earth? It still happens. And so Abraham, God showed up to him and said, hey, guess what, Abraham? I'm going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to see, you know, the sin that has come up before me. And if it is true, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. So then Abraham begins to come before the Lord and says, Lord, you are righteous and you are just, you are good. And he knew that his brother-in-law, Lot was there. And he knew his family was there. And he began to ask the Lord, Lord, if there be 50 people, will you please spare them? And God said, I am righteous, I am just, I will spare them if they're 50. And then Abraham continues, but Lord, what if there's 40? Will you do it for 40? Yes, I am just, I will spare the whole city for 40 people. Oh, we have more than 40 people in here. Aren't you glad? See, it's hard to get discouraged about the United States when you understand the Lord. There's a lot of people, we're on the brink. We've been on the brink all our life. Our nation has never been not on the brink. Our history is standing on the brink. But God's people are so faithful to pray. And as we pray, angels, what? Hearken unto the voice. As we lift our nation up. Do you know what? If America fails, I blame no politician. You want to know who I blame for the majority? I blame preachers. I blame the church. Because we should be doing our job. And we're praying for those above us. When's the last time you prayed for the president? When's the last time you prayed for your governor? When's the last time you prayed for your congressperson? When's the last time you prayed for them? We're commanded by God to do so. And it seems like the church, we don't get to a place of praying until we're afraid everything is going to go on the brink. How about this? The church just maintain. Do not get weary in well-doing. All right, so Abraham is talking to the Lord, asking for God to, not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he can find. He goes all the way down to 10. But there's a scripture I want to read. Verse 27, it says, Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." I want you to notice something. Abraham was talking to the Lord, but he came in with the mentality, "Lord, you are the one who created me. I am humble in your presence. Your word says ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and that is all that I am." Now, we can come into the presence of God with power and authority, and we understand his word and we quote his word, but we never get to a place where we are, what is the word I'm looking for? Where we are not only just self-righteous, but we're at a place where we try to get to where we are arrogant in prayer. I've seen people in the body of Christ arrogant in their position in Christ. We need to recognize and, yes, be confident in God, but never get to a place where we are high-minded. We need to understand God is in authority, and we are no better. I've heard this statement, and it bothers me, and if you make this statement, that's fine, and you'll find out that you were wrong later. But I've heard people say, "I am God's favorite." Well, the scripture says God has no favorite, that he doesn't favor one person above another. He loves mankind all equally, but he does respond, as the angels do, to his word. And so we can be confident that God hears us, but we don't get arrogant in our prayer and in our position. We are sons and daughters of God, but we are not rude, crude, or socially unacceptable. I'm glad we got that out there. And so the angels, as you know the story, went to Lot and his family, got them out. And I love that Lot recognized. See, Abraham recognized the angels and God. When the angels showed up to Lot's house, Lot recognized them as well. Forget not to entertain strangers. Because we do not know when we entertain an angel before us. I believe when the church begins to focus on God's word, we will begin to see it more in action. The angel went and saved Lot and his family. Daniel, let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And then we're going to go to Acts chapter 12. We're going quickly here. Daniel chapter 10. And it says, "And behold," verse 10. "And behold, a hand touched me." Oh, he touched me. My mind, when I hear people in regular conversation, my mind always goes to music. I don't know why. Do you do that? Does anyone else start singing a song? I see one or two hands, and they were not strong hands. They're like, "Me, don't tell no one." "And behold, a hand touched me, which was set upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, and understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine hands unto understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Why did the angel come? For his words. And I would just like to put this out there. He would have never come if Daniel wasn't speaking. The angel would have never came into existence if it wasn't for the speaking of Daniel. He hearkened unto the words of Daniel. The angels hearken to the word of God. You want to have angels go into action for you? Speak God's word. You don't have to command one of them. You don't even have to know their name. You don't have to try to come up with a name. You don't have to tell angels to do jack. What you have to do is quote the word, and angels automatically go and hearken to his word. Can you imagine? If you did every teaching that is out there, you would never sleep. You would absolutely never sleep. Acts chapter 12. But Daniel prayed for understanding, and he chastened himself. Daniel was quoting and actually praying the words of Jeremiah. And when you read his prayer, he humbled himself, he chastened himself, he asked for understanding. Isn't that interesting? God says if we pray for understanding, if we pray for wisdom, he will give it. Isn't that wonderful? Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. I told you we have a lot of word to read. And now about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth his hand to vex. This word vex in the Greek means to afflict, to harm. But here it absolutely means to kill. And we can find that in verse 2. So he meant to vex certain of the church. Do you know that's still going on today? There are still people in high places that wants to vex the church. They don't like the power of the church. You want to know why they don't like the power of the church? Because they can't do what they want to do. The whole government of China, which wants to be an atheist nation, and the church has to go underground. You want to know why China wants to be an atheist nation? Because China wants to say, you can only have one child. That's it. And if you have any more, we'll tax the mess out of you, or we'll throw you in jail. You want to know why they need to be an atheist nation? Because the Word of God says children are the inheritance of the Lord. And it goes against what mankind, their thoughts and their suggestions of what they want to do and they think is best for the nation. The Word contradicts the evil mentality that they have. And if God's Word is true, then they can't contradict it. And the church has something to stand on. So we have to outlaw the church. We have to get rid of God in the nation if politicians want to do what they want to do when it goes against God's word. Now, I'm not speaking about all politicians. We got great politicians out there. We do. We absolutely do. And that's why the church must be involved politically. We must be. And I believe in separation of church and state. The church should be separated from the state. They should never tell us what to do. That's what separation, and this is what's crazy. They want separation of church and state when it affects them, but they don't want separation of church and state when it affects us. You can't believe that. Watch me. How? The government has no right to tell the church what we believe. They have no right to tell the church what we believe, but they don't want us getting involved with them, but they get involved with us all the time. You want to quote a couple places? Okay, good. How about Texas? Texas, where the mayor of Dallas, was it? Said to all the preachers, I want copies of all your messages. And if you have said anything hateful, we will arrest you and take your 501c3. You know what I tell? Take it! We existed before you gave us a tax break, and we will exist afterwards. You think taking away my 501c3 will affect me? Watch me now. But then if you attack, this is just me, maybe a little bit of my southern mentality. But you come against me like that, all right, fine. Angels, the word of God says that my enemies who come against me, every tongue that rises up against me shall be cut down. I'm not going to be the one cutting. See, that's the problem with the church. Sometimes we want to do it ourselves. And you need to pray and let God have his perfect way. And so you want to come against the church? Fine. But get ready for the church to come against you. We can be at peace. We want to live at peace. I want to live peaceful with my neighbors. But do not try to hinder the church. Woo! I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel pretty good. All right, so where did we leave off? I don't even know. This has been amazing. Acts chapter 12. So Herod came against to vex. Now, this is what's crazy. Herod noticed that the Jews loved it. He killed one of the church leaders, and the Jews loved it. Now, nothing wrong with the Jews. We love the Jews. Yeah, nothing wrong. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Don't take it like I'm speaking against a whole race of people. I'm just saying this is what happened at the time, according to the Word of God. Now, you can replace that with society loves it. Oh, my Lord, when they hang a Christian up to dry for their beliefs, which we're seeing in our time, in our day, in our age, when they hang the church out to dry, there are people in society that love it. They love to see the Christian and the church persecuted because they get sick. Do you know what? Darkness hates the light. It can't stand the light. You want to know why? Because when the light shines on, they can see all that's wrong with them. When the Word of God goes before them, they can see what they need to change, and they don't want to change. They have no intentions of changing, and it bothers them, and they take it. Now, you're not persecuted. You're just stating God's Word. And they take it as, if you disagree, that you're fighting with them. And we don't fight with nobody. I had someone tell me one time, I saw your church. Y'all were protesting something and carrying signs and quoting. I'm like, no, we've never done that. Well, I'm coming to your church, and we're going to protest your church. I said, come on. We would love for you to be outside. We serve coffee before service. Feel free to come in and fill your cup up. We also offer cups if you don't have one. And they said, are you trying to be smart? No, sir, I am not trying to be smart. I'm just telling you, we would welcome you in to fill your cup of coffee up. Now, you can't protest in the building, but feel free to protest outside. What if we come in and we stop people from, coming in? What if we get in your message and we say, I said, I will tell my ushers to carry you out. What if we lock arms? What if we come in and we refuse to let you have church? I said, well, then we will place you under citizen's arrest because this is a private place. Now, under citizen's arrest, please do not. I would advise you to not resist arrest. What do you mean by that? Is that a threat? No. No, I just know my ushers. Do not resist arrest. We hope you go peacefully. Are you threatening me? I don't know. I'm not sure how you take this. Because my question to you, are you threatening me? They said, well, we're going to show up. I said, we welcome you. We welcome you. You can't do that. You're a minister. You believe to be nice and to be good. I said, yes, I do. But guess what? I do believe that you don't. I believe in a God that forgives, that even if we maybe use excessive force, if that kind of happens, we will be able to say, God, forgive us. What are you going to do if you use excessive force? Who are you going to ask forgiveness of? They never showed up. Single tear. But God gives the church power. We should be a powerful church. We should be a church that is full of God doing miraculous things in our midst. Okay, so the church was persecuted, and they killed or persecuted one of the believers, and it pleased the people. It pleased society around them to see the church persecuted. Nothing's changed. We're still in a place where society enjoys the persecution of the church. The difference is we put them in jail, and we don't put lions out to destroy them in the Colosseum like they used to. Now, verse 4, let's go down there and delivered. Now, we're talking about Peter here, and it tells us here that he was in groups of four groups of four people. And the soldiers kept him. And after Easter, they were going to bring him forth to the church unto God for him. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. The good news is, no matter how secure man thinks he has you, angels are able to break you free. God's word is able to break you free. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Basically said, hey, Peter, get up. and arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. Get up, put your clothes on, put your shoes on. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thou garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. In other words, he thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was dreaming. I mean, if you wake up and an angel tells you to get up and chains fall off, you might be in a little bit of a daze and confused. I have woke up, thought I was dreaming before, and it was real life. I have stumbled through, and I've even had to ask people, you know, it's embarrassing, because sometimes I get up and do things in my sleep. I don't know this. And I've had to ask people, did I get up? Did I see anything? And sometimes my wife has said, yes. Because I don't know if it's a dream or if it's true. And so this is where we find Peter. He didn't know if it was a dream or if it was true. And so basically what happens is the angel takes him through the city. And we have record in the Bible of the first automatic doors. It says the angel and Peter walked to them and they opened on their own accord. That idea came from Jesus. Every time you go to a grocery store and the doors open up, you just say, this was an invention of the Lord. Doors that open on their own accord. That's out of the Bible. And so when he departed, he didn't realize it was true until the angel disappeared and he was outside of the city. And he's like, I'm not waking up. I guess this is real. Isn't that something? I love it. Now, this all came from the church praying. Now, that's intercessory. They prayed and they did not quit. That's a different kind of prayer here, but that was intercessor prayer. Now, Peter thought he was asleep. He woke up. Now, angels, this is what I love. Peter is sleepy, but we don't have record of any angel ever sleeping. Do you know what? You can sleep, and angels will always watch over thee. He will always watch over you and hearken to the word. That's why when I go to sleep and I pray, and I pray over my children, I have my children pray, like, Lord, we thank you for your protection. You know, one of the things I say over my kids, and I have them say too, Father, we thank you that we are healthy, wealthy, and wise all the days of our life, that your hand is upon us. You protect us. You guide us, direct us. We hear your voice and your voice alone. We will follow you, Lord, and only you. We will not depart from your ways. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why are these prayers important? Because they're scriptural. And then your kids someday will be like, oh, read that scripture. Oh, Daddy prayed the Bible. Mommy prayed the Bible. We pray the word. And angels hearken over us, and they watch us so that we could actually sleep and rest. Angels don't sleep so that you can. Now, we need to pray God's word. We need to expect angels to hearken unto God's word. And when you do that, and you expect God's word to come to pass, and you realize it's not in your power. I've had people tell me, the Bible says pray for the sick and they shall recover. But what if I pray for them and they don't recover? And I tell them, you're getting out of your position. It was never your job to cause them to recover. It's not your position. You do what you're called to do, and the word of God will do what it says it will do. It's not your job to deliver people out of bondage. It's your job to pray. It's your job to confess the word. Do you know what? When you take that pressure off you, what happens? You are able to rest. You're able to sleep through the night. You're able not to get caught up in all the anger, the outrage, or the fear that might try to grip your heart due to circumstances of your kids or of the nation or of situations that are going on. You pray, you give it to God, and trust that angels are moving. And some people are just as stubborn as the king that was over the children of Israel when Moses came over in Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. It didn't happen overnight. It did not happen overnight. But guess what? It happened. It happened. And you may be in a situation. What you need to do is quote the word. You need to pray and expect angels to hearken unto your voice. Expect the word of God to come forth. Expect the word of God to produce. And guess what? When you put all of it on God, you're able to rest in his power. When everyone else is freaking out, you can rest. When no one else knows what to do, you can rest. when everybody else looks at the nations and we're going to hell in a handbasket, everything is turning, you can rest. Lord, if there be 50, will you save our nation? If there be 40, will you save our nation? If there be 30, will you save our nation? Lord, if there be 10, will you save our nation? Just by the show of hands, how many righteous people are here? We have it covered. We have it covered. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the authority you have.